Well, our text for today is, even in the middle of the woods, technology still works, sort of. Our text for today is found in Romans chapter 8. It is verses 1 through 11. I would tell you what page number it's on in the Pew Bible, but you don't have one. And I could tell you what page it's on my iPad in YouVersion, but that's unhelpful too. So listen now and hear God's word from Romans chapter 8, as I see some of you are following along with me. It reads, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful for these words from the apostle that speak to our hearts and to our minds. And as we stop this beautiful morning and consider them, speak to us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. And before I begin, I've got to move this cup by my foot because it's going to get kicked. So excuse me. Every time I pick up my foot, I'm like, look down, because it's going to go over. And it's going to be that, not just that time when Steve fell off the side, but when I kicked the coffee over and got all over Kathy's stuff. So we don't want to do that either. Anyway, as familiar as we are with Paul's systematic theology that we call the book of Romans, we might be the most familiar with chapter 8 of that book. We might just read that first few verses, or maybe as you heard me read them, you said, "Yep, sounds about right. I know where this is going. I know how it's going to take shape." Because our minds have read this passage. Our spirit has heard this passage so frequently and so readily. There is now no condemnation. We've heard it over and over again. But how do we show no condemnation without turning this message or that word from Paul or the gospel itself into an overly inclusive, all are welcome gospel? Which I know has a benefit. Another way of saying this is, how is the tension between a fully received and offered grace balanced between the biblical accountability that you know of in the scripture and that you teach your children and your families about? We confess it. How do we manage that tension? Full offered grace everywhere. And the fact that to follow Christ means to live a certain way. How is that managed? It has been a struggle. It has been the struggle, I think, the church has grappled with for as long as the gospel has been with us, and probably even longer as Paul sat and wrote these words for us. I guess the best way to start working that tension is to acknowledge first that we do like a healthy dose of condemnation to toss around each other, at each other. Consider the story, if you will, of Ed and Linda and John. Three siblings who were very different. They knew how to pass blame as well as any of you as siblings know how to shuck the blame around and set it in somebody else's lap. Ed was the oldest, maybe the wisest. He knew how to gather his siblings together to work around the house or to clean their father's camera equipment in the basement. He could gather them well, but his motives were not pure. Were not so platonic. As the work would draw to its conclusion, Ed would change the music the three were listening to, thereby driving his younger siblings away because they didn't like it, and he could take the credit for all the work that was done. Claim it, which he gladly did, and then the condemnation that their father threw upon the other two for not being helpful. I wonder what they thought of dear old Ed as they stomped back upstairs, angry about what was happening. But Ed was not the only one of the three who did this. Once John pushed Linda off their short porch in the driveway. It was only a short fall, but his older sister, who was faster than he was, hit the ground with a thud and a look of rage as she got up ready to pound him for his actions, baby brother. John, seeking his own bit of condemnation to toss at older Linda, noticed a crack in the driveway, to which he blamed on her falling on it. Before she could get up there and exact her pound of flesh, John was running into the house to blame her. And it worked again. Their father was furious that Linda cracked the driveway. Sibling condemnation. I suspect if my sister was here, she would have stories that are not true, by the way. Of course they're not. And my children would have stories of tossing it back and forth upon each other. Although I know one of them, she would never, ever do such a thing. It would only be the truth from her. That type of condemnation is funny to our ears. You chuckled as I told you stories. And I bet you have your own personal stories of blame and condemnation that happen in your families that make you roll your eyes. They may feel harmless or maybe just a part of sibling life. It is what it is. But maybe it's not, and maybe it's more. But this behavior is more serious, this condemnation that started with siblings and friends and neighbors, and it moves out into our world and cannot be neglected as we think about Romans 8. In a personal, more serious note, I cannot scroll through my iPhone's Facebook feed for long before I find someone condemning the government for their handling of COVID-19 and stomping their feet and cursing about it. I suspect I'm not the only one. It's Trump's fault, one says. Another poster cries, the liberal media, they blow it out of proportion. I read an email that one of you got that said they were coming to VBS because this is fake. What's going on out there? I see people say that they don't believe in the plandemic, and my shoulders slump a little bit as they stomp their digital feet and wag their finger at me in disgust, condemnation. When I go to the grocery store, and it happened yesterday twice, by the way, I see at least one person who's not wearing a mask daring me with their eyes to say something, almost tracking me with their look, like, go ahead, say something. And I just walk away as my glasses fog up and I mutter to myself, because I'm wearing a mask and they don't know I'm talking right now. But that's not condemnation, that's just justification. People I know who regularly attend worship say they practice their faith. They claim to love their neighbors. Diligently and consistently, these people that I know, that I love, lash out at the governor, at local councils, the Senate, the House, in hate. On and on it goes until the mob mentality grows and grows. And if I have to endure one more, they say, then I'm going to. And you can fill in the blank. And we haven't even started talking. We've just been talking about siblings and their stuff, not our stuff, and garment stuff and not our stuff. We haven't begun to discuss lifestyle choices, dress code, sports affiliation. Don't you wear orange and brown around here. Family dynamics, church polity and practice, racial protests, and the removal of racist markers from our past. There's plenty of space and plenty of opportunity, you see, to condemn and to throw blame around. And it doesn't just happen on social media or on television or in the paper. It happens in every corner of our lives. And I wonder what Paul would say if he was here right now, if we walked him down the prayer chapel into this space. It's gotten much cooler all of a sudden. It was very warm when we started. I wonder what Paul would say if he were here right now. There is now no condemnation but I like to condemn. The rebuttal comes. Now, I suspect I know that what you are thinking does not, God's word again, call for certain standards of living and action and thinking. You cannot just stand up here and pound Bert's pulpit, which, by the way, is very sturdy and I can lean on it. Really nice. It is quite nice, by the way. And pound away on the communal response to the culture forever. We throw it all out. If we burn it all down, what do we have left? Paul has an answer for that as well. He answers it, if you were listening to the text that I read with you, with the work and the person of Jesus Christ. That work, the work of Jesus, is based on the understanding from God that something has changed between us and God on high. The relationship has been utterly and completely shattered. It is the theological Humpty Dumpty that cannot be put back together again, no matter how many of us gather and try to fix it. I'm not going to take the time to enumerate all the ways that the Israelites broke the covenant, but you know they did. And in your mind, you can scroll through them on your own. The Messiah came and he restored that relationship. And in restoring it, in fixing it, they broke it again. We broke it again. Think of their past a little bit. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. Thomas doubted. Saul persecuted and sought to arrest and kill women and children. The leaders of the day who should have known the prophecies related to Jesus did not. So they broke the relationship with God that they were entrusted to teach to their community. In today's text, the Christians in Rome, citizens in one form or another of the Roman Empire, are now being hunted down and tortured because of this gospel. The work of Jesus is to restore all of those relationships, regardless of the degree to which they were broken, because there is pain in a broken relationship, a pain that we have all felt, and a pain we wish to abate. Peter feels regret, does he not? That is present in the rest of his ministry. When Peter talks, you hear a different passion in him after this. Thomas's doubt led him to stand before Jesus and recoil because of what Christ offered him. Going all the way back to the story I began with of the three siblings, Ed sat at John's bed when he died and confessed the regret and the condemnation, 50 years worth, that had built up between them. Linda's pain took her down a different path where she no longer knows who her brothers are. She has literally forgotten them and cannot remember or recapture or relearn any of it. The most dangerous part of condemnation is the pain that it leaves behind. Pain that is sometimes impossible to heal outside of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So what does Paul want us to do with this pain, all of this condemnation, you might be thinking? I know that this pain is there, and I know that it is often re-practiced before the church. So how do we deal with it? The work of Jesus, the work he comes to address in the shattered relationship of our days, is a work based upon the acknowledgement of his suffering, of his pain. And so by using that, we seek to outflank the world when the world condemns and judges us. By embodying the gospel's full message, the work of Christ came to remove the condemnation from us so that we might more fully and freely live into the gospel and offer the love and grace that comes with it. We are talking and thinking about how grace, you see, in Paul's mind, has changed everything that we're dealing with here. It changed the individual Christian. It changed the worshiping body. Christ's grace offered in his suffering, a suffering that unites us to God and takes us away from all those sins and the sinful mind of Romans 8, changes the entire world if we live into it. The relationship can be rebuilt as Ed and John's was. Peter no longer felt the sting of denial. Paul was not condemning Christians anymore. Instead, after they received grace, they were different, and they shared that difference faithfully to the people of their community. They were faithful in the way they lived it. They didn't minimize it. They didn't justify it. They lived into it. There is now no condemnation. It's a strong sentence. I wonder what the implications of that sentence are for you. I wonder how God is calling you to extend grace, to live faithfully, and where you can restore a relationship by outflanking judgment, condemnation, and blame, by embodying who Jesus calls you to be. And he's on my nose. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful to be your people. And as we stop and we consider your word, as we think about the places and the ways we too have offered condemnation and blame to another, help us to heal that by leaning upon your grace, living into your mercy, and offering it to the people around us accordingly. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. At this time, got to find some blank paper, as you know. I would like to invite our graduate forward as he smiles and slowly rises. You can't see him doing that, but he does. Come on down, as a wise person once said. It is a joy, John Mark, to welcome you up here this morning. And before we start our part, you and I, I'll let the deacons do what they have to do. So go ahead, Julie.
Well, John Mark, you've been a part of this congregation for a long time. They've watched you grow into the man that you are becoming. And as you start into this new time of your life, draw on the support and love of the people that have supported you so far in your life. Parents, the people in the congregation, your grandparents. And we just, as deacons, wanted to give you a little memento. So here's a Bible that you can use to strengthen your times when you're losing your faith. You don't know what's going to happen. You're away from all the family and friends who have cared for you. Use your Bible. You'll find answers there. Happy graduation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You can just set it right here. I won't take it.
Even if you do, we're going to the same place.
For those who didn't hear, he said, well, if you do, those who didn't hear, he said, well, I said, I won't take it. He said, well, if you do, we're going to the same place, so it's fine. John Mark, you finish your time at Seneca. What's next for you? I know, but they may not all know. So go ahead and say as much as you wish about where you're going from this point on.
All right. So in November, I was accepted at Edinburgh University. It's about an hour and a half north of here. I'll be studying nursing while I'm there, and I'll also be training to earn a commission into the Army in their ROTC program. After that, planning on being active duty nurse in the Army for extended time. After that, I've told Don with ICN that I would go and do medical mission trips to Nepal and anywhere else that he'd need me after I was done with that, after I retire. So.
Is that everything? Okay. And I know someone who wants to go to Nepal with you probably tomorrow morning. Well, as we do, every time we have a graduate such as John Mark stand before us, not just because he's my son and so I know how smart he isn't, right? Wink, wink. Wink, wink. We will lean upon your wisdom in this time. What shall we pray for him for? What does he need?
Strength.
Strength?
There are so many temptations once you get out on your own, whether it's in the college setting or just the world in general. So strength to persevere. Hold on to your faith.
Thank you. And don't worry, I will print this up for you so you'll have it nice. You don't have to read my handwriting.
Yeah, Jim Lindemann.
Jim. Mm. Thank you, Jim. Self-control for those who could not hear, in leadership and in leading himself. Excellent wisdom, Jim. Thank you. What shall we pray for, Bert?
Take it from somebody who has ADD to a high degree. Focus. Focus.
Focus.
Don't go in 28 different directions. That's me. I'm the poster child. You don't want to go there. Focus will get her done.
Focus. What can we pray for, Chris?
Patience.
Patience?
If things are going to go, might not go quite according to plan, just patience to stick through it and keep moving forward.
What should we pray for, Tiffany?
Faithfulness and loyalty. Faithfulness in your Christianity walk, but faithfulness in all your relationships as well.
Thank you. What should we pray for, Kathy?
You can't take it all so seriously. You can't take yourself too seriously.
Absolutely. Amy.
I want to say, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because that's the way you learn. Believe me, I'm still making mistakes. And I'm learning a lot every day.
What shall we pray for? What does he need, Jay?
Strength in convictions.
Absolutely. What does he need, Ron?
Humility.
Humility. As his family snickers behind you. Thank you. Nina?
Health.
Health.
In this time, it's foremost, and then just all time.
Yeah, absolutely. What does he need? What can we pray for? Yes, Mom.
Knowing that we're always here for you, you can call us anytime. You know this, though.
I almost made it. Why did you do that? I almost made it. Julie.
To use the Word of God as your moral compass.
What does he need? What can we pray for? You gonna do it again, love?
Oh no, this one's very important. Cleaning skills.
Does that include laundry?
Yes! Emma does laundry now, that's okay. Yeah, I know, right. Well, we just talked about that the other day, but at any rate, I will digress. Bert?
Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you.
Yeah. What does he need? And what can we pray for? Leslie!
Here on the promenade.
On the promenade, yes.
Resolve. There are going to be times when you will be so tempted to stray from your goal.
Thank you. What does he need? Can we pray for, Kathy?
Discernment.
Discernment? What does he need? What can we pray for?
The ability to forgive.
To forgive. Yeah. What does he need? What can we pray for? Julie.
To follow God's call wherever he may lead you.
What does he need? And what can we pray for?
Throughout all this, he needs to have a little bit of pleasure and enjoyment.
Have some fun, huh?
A little bit.
You caught that little bit, right? A little bit. What does he need? Anything else that he needs? Or anything else we can pray for him about? Sorry, Tim.
I don't know.
Oh, there's one.
Jim,
yeah.
We'll let Jim go first.
Good, good.
He's coming from a long distance.
Good, Jim.
Well, maybe not.
Large dose of compassion.
Large dose of compassion. Thank you.
if somebody already said this, so just now when Jim talking, I forget what I was going to say. I was going to say about wisdom and his decisions and carefully thinking through and try to make good decisions.
Wonderful. Nancy.
Love.
Mrs. Walter had one. Okay.
Mm.
Yes.
So find time to quiet your mind, gentle with yourself.
Yes, my handwriting is bad.
I'm just going to type it.
I will type it for you. Don't worry, Steve.
Open-mindedness.
Open-mindedness. He doesn't? You don't? Yes. This is true. Run.
I have a note for John Mark from Marianne Cardillo.
Oh, yes.
Pray for balance for you. Learn to balance time and work and study, but leave time for fun, too.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bert.
Old song by the Birds. I don't know if John Dillon or
Bob Dylan
wrote it or the Birds wrote it. It had a line in it that said, "Oh, but I am so much older now, younger now. I'm older than that now."
Mm-hmm.
And the Amish have another way of saying it. Too late, smart. Too soon, old.
Thank you. What does he need? Are you on our Facebook feed, Ron?
Yes.
Because I'm seeing it pop up on there, so that's Mary Ann's apparently. Okay.
Yeah, that was Mary Ann's.
Okay. I could just see it pop up on the screen. I thought I can't even make out if it's English because it's too far away for me, but thank you. Does he need anything else? Can we pray for anything else?
Hope.
Yeah. The fruits of the Spirit for sure. Then let us pray for John Mark. Gracious God, thank you for John Mark, for the blessing he has brought to his family's life, to our life, to his church's life, to his community, to Autumn, to the school he will go to. Thank you for him and how he has impacted all of us. And as he prepares to take this exciting next step into his adulthood, to his college life, go before him. Order his steps and guide his life. Not so that he will be necessarily successful, but so that he will be with you in whatever he does. For good or for bad, he will be there with you, in union with you. For there is much he will learn, as we have heard. Many ways he will grow. And so we commit him to you in this time. We specifically pray today, Lord, for strength to resist temptation, for self-control in leadership as he leads himself and as he cares and leads others, for focus. We pray for patience for John Mark. Things will not always go his way. But as he goes with you, they will go your way with him together. Faithfulness in his walk, a sense of humor. Give him the grace to make mistakes and to learn. Provide wisdom in his decision making. Strength in his convictions. Humility. He has much to learn and he will learn and grow as he moves forward. We pray for his health. As Jennifer reminded us, we pray for his dorm room, that it would be clean. We pray that you remind him that his church and his family are here for him as he transitions. That he has you before him as his compass, that he lives into the fruits of the Spirit. Give him resolve to be strong, discernment. Help him to forgive when it's needed and to seek forgiveness in others when he needs to. Help him to follow God's call wherever it leads. and to allow this time of learning to be fun for him. As a nurse, he will need a large dose of compassion, so give it to him, as well as give him the opportunity to quiet his mind and to quiet himself. Help him to be open-minded to what you will teach him. Time to balance his work, his study, and yet have time for fun. And we end by remembering the words of James, "Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you." Lord, be with John Mark. Watch over him as he goes to college in a few short weeks. Order his steps and guide his life. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Amen.
You can sit down, my son. Thank you. Old man, I love you. That is harder than it looks. As we continue to worship God and prepare to talk about God at work and share joys and concerns, just a quick reminder that today we were also collecting the One Great Hour of Sharing. And I think as you made your way here, whether it was down the traditional path or from the promenade downward, Denny handed you an envelope if you wish to participate in that offering, or if you've brought your fish, because I know we have a few of those fishies swimming around here. I can see them this morning as Susie looks nervous. We'll take it next week too. Don't worry. We'll be here next Sunday, promise. Not here, but we'll be in this area, promise, next week. You can put them in the offering plate, which I believe is in the back. Is that? Mm-hmm. It's way in the back, is it not?
Nope.
Denny's pointing. It's up there. So, else on the promenade. Yeah. So, if you have your fish, place your fish in there. If you want to participate in the offering, you have the envelopes. And if you just want to continue to contribute to the Ministry of Plains, you can do that as well. Oh, where have you, on this beautiful day when it stopped being so hot, finally? It was pretty rough a few days ago. I know we were getting nervous. Where have you seen God at work? Amy.
I just can't say enough of how beautiful it looks here and all the work with the outdoor stained glass windows and the flowers and Kathy with her, 5,000-foot extension cord.
That's Danny.
It is a joy to be together here. And again, we do want to thank everyone who is involved. If we stopped and we named each person who either contributed financial support, who broke their back here helping us to prepare stuff, who dug it in, who hung it up, who ditched it out, we would be here all day. Thank you. It was a church project together, and it was a joy. Thank you for sharing with us, Amy, this morning. We appreciate it. Where have you seen God at work? Jennifer.
So as a family, we didn't only have one graduate of John Mark, but Autumn also
did. She did.
And she is definitely part of the family.
Yeah.
She's been here since 8th grade, essentially. And she's got some really great plans, too. So if she wants to, I'll let her share her plans as well. But we're super proud of her as well, and we love her.
Not that we're putting you on the spot. But Jennifer did just put you on the spot, so.
Well, I'm going to BC3, and I'm going to go for an elementary education with special ed.
Wonderful. If you want to see a cute little picture of them together in 8th grade, I have that too. John Mark with his braces, and it was a good look for him and for her. We can put that on the church website. We got Tom's over. He could put anything we want on the website. We could tag it. We could do a lot of stuff to it. Absolutely right. Where have you, thank you, my love, seen God at work, Bert? Bert. You put your hand up.
My daughter, Kristen, was given a difficult writing assignment for a job interview. I see God at work in the talent he gave her to come up with a good story. And
mm-hmm.
I was proud of
him. As you should be. Thank you for sharing your story with us this morning. Julie.
All right, so get out your hanky.
Okay. I don't have one, so.
It was really beautiful, and we could see God at work with the love between a father and his son.
Oh. I'm just going to breathe deeply. Thank you for sharing that with us. We do love him very much. He has, since he was knee-high to a blade of grass, he has always said, Dad, I'm going to be an Army man. Never going to be a football player. Never going to be a captain of industry. It was always, I'm going to be an Army man, Dad. And he's going to be an Army man. And we are proud of him. Where have you seen God at work, Tim?
Well, sitting out here, just to add a little bit to what my wife said, it just, I look at all these trees. This is almost like a bird story, maybe. But it, and I guess Nate, nobody planted them. But Nate, the wind blew a seed, and they landed here, and they grew. Yeah. And I don't have any idea, but I suspect some of them are, 100 years old or more. And
probably.
And the, and how they provide the shade and all for us. But I think God had a plan, 100 years ago or whatever, and put the trees here and this piece of land just sloping just right to make this outdoor chapel. And the people that founded Plains Church 200 years ago probably didn't have that in mind at the time. And
no.
They're probably just thinking survival or something. And, I just see God slowly but surely revealing the next step of his plan with our church and with us. And thank you, John Mark, and others who spearheaded the construction of this site. It's just perfect.
Thank you for sharing that wisdom with us, Tim. Appreciate it. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing these stories with us as part of our worship outside. Hopefully, we will be able to use our outdoor space. I know if it had been last summer, we wouldn't use it probably at all, right? Because it rained pretty much constantly. And now this year, it's really hot, so, who knows. But hopefully, we will be able to use this. I know in August, we will have worship in the park, and it will be in the park. But maybe next year it can be, We have space, and we know where it is, so at any rate. As we come to share joys and concerns today, do you have joys and concerns to share? I suspect Janelle has a tremendous joy to share with us.
On Friday, Eric and John welcomed a little girl into the world, Emerson Rose. She was born at 6:02 p.m., 6 pounds, 3 ounces, 19 and a half inches long. They're doing great.
It was a wonderful joy. Bert.
I'm late for announcements.
Okay.
But I got a pamphlet in the mail concerning the pavilion.
Yes.
And some costs. And I took the liberty of pricing 6x6 posts at the big box stores.
Sure.
Versus the Amish. And the cost difference is phenomenal.
Well, that's a conversation that I think I know that would be Tom and Frank and Ron and myself, and I'm missing Bob and Janelle. We would like to have that conversation with you outside of worship to sort of talk about these, because we're getting ready to start that process, and we need to know that information.
And
so,
I just want to say one more thing.
Please.
If it's undercover, it does not have to be treated lumber. And I have a little joke.
Okay.
There used to be a comedian. I can't think of his name now. He would say, "You might be a redneck if."
Jeff Foxworthy.
Okay, that's him. "You might be a redneck if."
Yes.
"People ask to hunt in your front yard." Okay, that's the kind of stuff he said.
Right.
I'm going to say this. "You might be a redneck if you learned how to play tennis by swatting at carpenter bees." What I'm telling you there is, do not go with Doug fir, white pine, or any type of red pine.
Okay.
When the carpenter bees go to the restaurant, that's the filet mignon.
These are good things we need to know, this, because the group of us are trying to figure it out. So let's schedule some time and talk about it. That would be really good. So are there other joys and concerns, Tiffany?
Okay. The concern is a friend of ours, her stepfather is in the hospital out of state with COVID, and he's on a ventilator. So prayers for Doyle.
We will keep Doyle in our prayers on a ventilator with COVID.
I probably need to move away for the joy.
I think
next weekend, Frank and I will be, well, next week we're celebrating our 25th anniversary, and we're going to renew our vows here after church. So the good part of this is we're all invited to come and celebrate our renewal vows.
It's going to be short, yeah. I was going to say that, don't worry. It's like about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. So if you're saying, yeah, but I've got... No, it won't take long. It won't take long. We'll be right here. And you know the location, and you know the way. Thank you for sharing your joy with us. We will keep Doyle in our prayers on event out of state. Thank you. Are there others this morning? Nancy.
My brother-in-law, Mike.
Mike?
Had a minor stroke. He's physically, he's doing fine, so that's the good part of it. But he needs to start making healthier choices.
Sure. We will keep Mike in our prayers as he recovers from that. Thank you. Tim.
Well, I have a joy.
Joy.
And I thought that Jennifer might say this too, and even though this is sort of John Mark's day, but there's more, and then of course Autumn, welcome Autumn. But there's another big graduate in the room, it's our own Reverend Dr. Derek, and I'm the word doctor. And
I didn't.
And you know, as I was thinking, as the congregation was giving prayerful thoughts from John Mark, well, of course, they also apply to Autumn, but I think 99.9% of them apply to you, too. You know, and I, in my mind, as you were giving that prayer, I was just thinking, yeah, this works for Derek, too. And so congratulations.
Thank you.
Again, and it's a joy that you're one of our older graduates, but it still counts.
Still counts. Stop shaking your head, boy. When you said older graduate, Timmy's like, he kind of leaned. Yeah, I said something about humility. I don't know what that's about. So, thank you. It's been a long road to get through that, and I appreciate your prayers and your support through it. I really do. And your help, as the six of you who volunteered to be guinea pigs in a study, I could tell your names have been changed to protect the innocent. So, are there other joys and concerns?
I have a concern.
Along
with the joy of being here, I need to ask the Carters and the Roscoes to help tote all this stuff back up to the front door of the church. Yes. I have a key. I'd appreciate it if you'd stay a few minutes and help carry this back. Thank you.
And that goes for some of the chairs, the church chairs that are here. There's quite a bit of things. I know Tim's going to pick some of this stuff up for us with his tractor, but there's a lot of cleanup to do. So if you can stay for a couple extra minutes and help us carry extension cords and keyboards and tripods and all of this. Don't worry, as Ron told us, we'll have a roof here and some lights and some ceiling fans later, right? No? No?
Said nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
Not once.
Are there other joys and concerns? Then let us be the church. Loving God, it is wonderful to be together out here in your creation, to feel the warmth of the sun on our bodies, to feel the breeze as it comes across the valley here, even to swat the bugs that come every now and again. It is wonderful to be out in nature communing with you, something you created, and a thing, nature, this creation that you also called very good. And so we are thankful to be together today. We are thankful to celebrate our graduates. We are thankful to celebrate our joys. And we are thankful to be a praying community that can lift up the needs of the congregation faithfully to you. We thank you for young Emerson and for John and for Erica. Watch over them as this new family grows. As she grows in the knowledge and fear of you, Lord, order her steps, guide her life. Be with the parents, John and Erica, as they love her, as they care for her. Her extended family, as they surround her with your grace and with your love. Watch over them. We join Tiffany and Frank in celebrating their 25th anniversary next week. This coming week, I should say. And we pray that you continue to guide them faithfully, truly, towards the plans and purposes you ordained for each of them. We think of Doyle on a ventilator at home or out of state in a hospital. And we pray that as he battles COVID, that he would be victorious over that. That he would get off of the ventilator, this health would be restored. We think of Mike, who has suffered from a minor stroke. And as Nancy reminded us, he needs to make some different choices in his life. So give him the grace to make those choices so that he can recover and be strong. We pray for the ongoing needs and ministry here at Plains as we get ready for Bible school, as we continue to work our way through this summer. Reveal yourself to us. And as you reveal yourself to us, help each of us as individuals and as families and as the church family to obediently follow you and your will and your purposes wherever they lead us. And hear us now, Lord, together, your children, as we offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray today, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.